Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 5 we had looked at last weekend, and I wanted to look at a little bit more in relation to this section. In verse 16, we'll start reading there. It says, "Wherefore henceforth," or because of this, "know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth," from here on, we don't know Him after the flesh anymore. We don't know Him as He was in the flesh. We know Him as He is right now, which is raised, ascended, seated at the right hand of God. It says that we're not to know anyone after the flesh anymore. And that is because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished and what God has done for each of us. We don't consider our flesh any longer. We're encouraged now to look at things in a different light. We're encouraged now to look at things the way God looks at them about our lives. And it says here in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," a new creation. You know, we are in the new birth, a new creation. Things about our lives are new. They're not the way they used to be. In Christ, everything is new. All things, we are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things about our lives are now become new. You know, we have a new perspective about our lives. God has a new perspective about our lives. So, we are to consider what's new about our lives day by day. You know, consider what is new, not what used to be, not what is old, you know, but what is now new and become new about our lives. Part of it is right here in the following verses. All things, of course, verse 18 says, are of God. And that refers to the new things. All those new things about your life is about what God has done. It's not about what you do. All those new things that have become about your life are because of what God has done. All those new things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, He has reconciled us to Himself by our own goodness or work. No, it was by Jesus Christ that He reconciled us. By what Jesus Christ did, what He worked, what He believed for, what He did, He now reckons. He brought us back together with God. He put us back together with God. He brought us back together with our Heavenly Father. We used to be separated from Him, but now, because of what Jesus Christ did, we're brought back into His grace. And we're brought back into His presence. You know? We're reconciled. That's what the word reconcile means. It means to put it back together. You know? To bring it back together. To know, verse 19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. God was working in Christ. God was in Christ. The Spirit of God was in Christ. You know, it's like Jesus Christ said, you know, the Father's always with me. You know, without Him, I can do nothing. Without the power and authority that God Almighty gave to His Son, He could not have accomplished anything. But what He did accomplish was not going around imputing people's trespasses against them. He wasn't counting up their wrongdoing and holding it against them. He was not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. If you impute people's trespasses, if you bring up their wrong and their sin and hold it against them, then you can't reconcile them to God. That's why Jesus Christ couldn't do that. He wasn't putting them in a position where they were conscious of their sin, because then He couldn't bring them back. God doesn't want the sinner. He wants the righteous. There are seats in the heavenlies for the righteous, not for the sinners. Right? So he couldn't do that. Not one place do you ever see. Now, yes, he would reprove them. He would correct them. But he didn't hold it against them. You know, we all have sinned. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. But it's not held against us because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. Because he was not anything but righteous before his Heavenly Father. And because of that, we're brought together. We're brought together back with God. Now, it says, he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This word regarding our bringing back together with God. Our position that is now not removed from God, but seated with him. This is the word regarding our reconciliation with God. It's not a word regarding the imputation of sin and holding it against you. It's a word regarding bringing you back together with your Heavenly Father. Connecting you and God. It's not connecting you and some man's ministry. It's not connecting you with some organization. It's connecting you with God. That's our whole purpose. That was Jesus Christ's whole purpose. That was the purpose that he now gives to us. Is to bring people back together with God. To let them know how much God is willing to do for them. And how much God has done on their behalf through Jesus Christ. And what he's willing to do now as a result of it. Yeah.
Is this talking about believer and non-believer?
Yeah.
So it's also bringing people back in the body of Christ.
Oh, absolutely. This is written to believers. You know, this is written to the believers. It's written to the church at Corinth. You know, not only did they, as believers, need to get back with God, you know, everyone does. Everyone does. It's a ministry of reconciliation, you know, to everyone. You know, what Jesus Christ did, he did for all men. And as believers, we have a choice too. Are we going to walk in, you know, keeping God involved in our lives or not? We're going to be the prodigal son, you know, who walks away from everything his father's done for him. Tries to do it on their own. You know, that's a lot of what they were doing. You know, they get back together with him. But now it says, whose job is this? You know, it is our job as believers, as born-again ones, to recognize that everyone needs to walk with their Heavenly Father. And that's the whole purpose. You know, we are ambassadors, verse 20 says, for Christ. This is new. This is a new thing. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're no longer just a servant of the Almighty God. You're an ambassador for His only begotten Son. We're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled. Well, just like Jesus Christ was reconciling men and women back to God, we do the same thing. We show them that God is there for them. We show them that God's willing to do anything for them. Anything. What is it that you need? What is it that you want? God is willing to do it. Just go to Him. Go back to Him and ask Him. That's what we do. That's what we do for our own lives and that's what we do for one another. And this is new. We could not have the right to do that if it were not given to us by God's grace. For He, it says, hath made Him, Jesus, verse 21, He, God, hath made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. And that word sin, it represents the offering for sin. He didn't make Him sin. He was His righteous Son. He made Him the offering for sin. Who knew no sin. He didn't need to offer anything for sin. He didn't need to because He was sinless. But He made Him to be the offering for sin. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That we might be made the righteousness of God. Not that we might have to walk like we are righteous or perform the law to make ourselves righteous. He made us righteous. He made us the righteousness of God in Him. You know, that's new. That's something that we, you know, can enjoy day by day. These are the things that we need to remember. You know, who has God made us? What has He made us? He's made us righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Him. Not because of what we work and we do, but because of what He has done for us. You know, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. You know what it took to make us that way? Not our own work. We couldn't do it. You know? Look at Romans chapter 8. Because we're made the righteousness of God in Christ, and because we have been brought back together with God, we have so many, many things available to us. In Romans chapter 8 is one thing. I just wanted to look at a few of the things that really are new about our lives. Romans 8, verse 15. Great verse of Scripture. It says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." What we have received as being made the righteousness of God in Christ, we have now received a sonship spirit, and a spirit of adoption. Not a spirit of a servant, but a spirit of sons, of daughters, of offspring, of God. We don't any longer have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to be afraid of our Heavenly Father. Because we're not servants to Him, judged on our service. We are sons. And we are made the righteousness of God in Him. It says in verse 16, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." We're the children of God now. We are no longer what we used to be. You know, the old things are passed away. Now, the new things become evident in our lives. We're sons. You know, we're no longer alienated, separated from God. We are brought back together with Him. You know? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. See, we no longer have to fear God, and we no longer have to fear or be afraid of His judgment upon our lives, because we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We no longer have to be afraid. We no longer have to fear anything in life either, in 2 Timothy, because of what God has done for us and what He's given to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, remember this? God has not given us the spirit of fear. Right? He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. That which God has given to us, that spirit that He has given to us, provides for us power, love, and a sound mind. It's of power, it's of love, it's of a sound mind. You know, this is new. This is new stuff here. You know, no longer is this about our being servants. It's about our being righteous sons. Because that's who we are. That's what He's made us. And therefore, we no longer have to be afraid. There's no room for fear in our lives. None. In Galatians chapter 4, a servant might have a reason to be afraid, but not a son. Servant doesn't do his job, he could get fired. He'd get kicked out. He could get sold. Sold off. He's an unprofitable servant. Get rid of him. Sell him at the slave market. That's what they used to do. But not sons. You can't do that. Can't do it. We no longer have to be afraid. It says in chapter 4 of Galatians, well, let's start in verse 4. It says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son." No longer a servant, but a son. Sons of God. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
That's a great thing to remember. I'm an heir of God through Christ. You know, I don't have to walk in my life thinking that I'm a servant of God, like they used to have to think. They were servants to the Most High. We are sons and daughters. We're His family now. He's made us that way. That's a very new thing. It's a new concept. And it's new to us too. And the reason is because of what God has done. No, not because of what we could do for ourselves. This is all by God's grace. It's all by God's doing. And it's not of our own work. Ephesians, right? Doesn't Ephesians say that? Ephesians chapter 2. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, even verse 5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us together." He's made us alive. This is new. This is something new. We're no longer dead in sin. We're new. We're alive. He's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He has to do that because now we're His children. "For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We have no boasting to do. We can't brag about how great we are. But we can praise God for how good He is, how gracious He is, and how wonderful He has made our lives. You know, not of our own works. This is not about our work. We're no longer servants. It's no longer about our work. In the Old Testament, it was all about their work. Did you do it right according to the law today? If you did, pat yourself on the back. You did a good job. You see? But not anymore. It's not about our work. Because we have been worked on. We are God's masterpiece, it says. His workmanship, verse 10. His workmanship. It's about His work. You know? And workmanship, right? It could be, you know, like an artist's masterpiece. You know, it's the work of a master. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now we're capable of doing something good. Now He's made us able to do good works. Because He's put His Spirit within us. That sonship spirit. That spirit that no longer causes any fear. But only causes confidence and boldness. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, it speaks of this. 2 Corinthians 5 again. Earlier in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, where we started, it speaks to this. You know, it talks about life. It's talking about life and how sometimes, you know, life has its challenges. Sometimes we'd much rather have the Lord come back and we just all get gathered together and go with Him. Boy, wouldn't that be great. Yes, it will be great. Sometimes you think about it when everything's going great and you think, man, it's even going to be greater. It's going to be more of a blessing. Sometimes you think of the hope when things are really crummy. Sometimes you think of the hope when, boy, I just hope He comes back today because I'm tired. I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of the mess. I'm tired of the bills. I'm tired of all of it. Either way, whenever you're thinking about it, it's still true. He is still coming back. Right? And that's what this is talking about. It's talking about when things are tough sometimes, you know, we think of, boy, we'd much rather just blow this whole thing off and be with Him. But it says in verse 5 that now He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing, you know, to be adequately ready for the return. He's made us that way. He's fixed us up. He's made us adequate for that. For that selfsame thing, who hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. He's given to us as a token of His promise that He will send Jesus Christ back and we will be forever with Him. He's given us a token about it. And it's that Spirit. Right? It's that Holy Spirit that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that not only are we seated in the heavenlies, we're God's kids, we're no longer servants, we're sons. This is what makes us confident. It says, therefore, because of that, therefore, we are always confident. We're not fearful anymore. We're always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. What? Well, we're right here, right now. Here we are. We're at home in the body of Christ. This is our home right now. And we may be absent from the Lord physically, but we know that one day we're not going to be physically absent from Him. We're all going to be seated in the heavenlies together. And because of that, we're confident. We're not fearful. We're confident. This is part of what's new about our lives. We don't have to be afraid. We're sons. We're made the righteousness of God in Christ. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He hasn't given us a spirit of bondage. He's given us a spirit that's power, love, sound mind. And as we continue to remember that and utilize that, we have confidence about life, about every aspect of life. We have confidence. We can live that way. That's what it says in Romans 6. Romans 6. In verse 4, it says that even as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We should walk in newness of life. This is new. All things become new. In every step we take, it's like Patty was sharing earlier, put the word, remember, bringing every thought into captivity regarding Christ. Every thought to the captivity of Christ, right? Every thought that you have, line it up with what Jesus Christ has done for you. Line it up with what God, through Jesus Christ, has done to reconcile you. That's walking in newness of life. Not in the old way of doing things. And in the context of Scripture, the old way is walking under the law. It's trying to do the law. Well, now, we have a new way to live. We no longer walk under the law. Chapter 3 of Romans. Verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Right? We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Without the law. I didn't have to do the law to become righteous. This is new. Can you imagine all these Old Testament, Judeans looking at this going, holy mackerel. Think of all those years we spent trying to be righteous under the law, and now all of a sudden we're just made righteous without it. That's a lot of why they rebelled. A lot of the stubborn ones said, I can't accept that. I've got to live the law. The righteousness without the law is manifested. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, they all knew that it was coming to this. They all foretold of the Messiah being the sacrifice for sin once and for all. Even the righteousness of God, verse 22 says, which is by faith. By faith of Jesus Christ. And then it says, unto all and upon all them that, what?
Believe.
Believe. Unto all. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. And it is on everyone that believes. What is? The righteousness of God. That is without the law. You know, this is new. This is the way we are to live our lives before God. You know? Knowing that this is all new. Our lives are all about what God has done. We don't have to live the way we used to live. Yeah, we have to do this. We have to work. We have to do things that we do day by day to do what we do, to live. Sure we do. But we do it with a new perspective in our mind. We do it with the perspective that, you know, I am righteous before God, so He wants to bless me. Not that He has to. He wants to. He wants to bless me. This righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, is for me. It's for you. That's what unto all. It's for everyone. The unto's get a little funny in Old King James. But it's for you. Think of it that way. It's for you. It's for everyone and on everyone that believes. It's on you. It's like evening gown, the most beautiful, most expensive evening gown a woman could wear. It's like the top of the line tuxedo that you can buy, hand tailored by the very best. And it's on you. How do you think you look in front of God now? When you go in front of God right now, you look pretty doggone good. Baby, you look hot. Yeah, you're there. You can't get any better. This is new. This is the newness of life. You know? This is what we are blessed to live in. You know? We're so blessed. You know, because of this, the things that have become new that God has done for us, you know, we have greater than anyone has ever had. It says that we have the ability to do greater works than Jesus Christ. We do the same works and greater. You know, it's in Acts chapter 1. There is a greater baptism than what John had instituted. We'll look at that. We have greater access to God than anyone has ever had before, because we're His children. We have greater authority in this life than anyone has ever had outside of Jesus Christ. These are the things that are new. In Acts chapter 1, you know, it says to them, in Jesus Christ speaking to the disciples, the apostles, He said, look, verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you've heard of me. You've heard of this promise that God has promised to you. He's speaking about the Holy Spirit. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. Soon, you're going to be baptized with Holy Spirit. This is a greater baptism. Verse 8, you shall receive power when the Spirit has come upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power. And that's when you'll be witnesses unto me. You know, they could have spoke of what they had seen with their eyes about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They could have spoke about it. But He told them to wait until they had a greater authority than their spoken word. A greater authority than their eyewitness account. This is what we have. They saw it with their eyes, and Jesus Christ told them, no, don't say a word until you get the Spirit. Then you can be witnesses unto me. Because that will prove it. We have the same thing. We have the same Spirit, right? This is that sonship Spirit. This is that Spirit that is not a spirit of bondage. where you have to be afraid. It's a spirit that is within you that causes great confidence because it's power. And it's our authority in 1 John chapter 4. It's the authority that we have. Now, these are the things that are new because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us and what God has done for us. What God has made us. These are all things that are new. In 1 John, and it's in chapter 4, and in verse 4, it says, "You are of God, little children." No, you're not of your own work. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Speaking of, you know, the powers of the world, you have overcome them because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You know, we now have a greater authority because we're sons of God. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. There isn't anyone with any more authority than you in this world. Now, you may not feel that way. You may look at yourself in the mirror and go, "I know a few more powerful people than you." No. No, sorry. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. This is what God's Word declares about us. So that's what we declare of ourselves. We don't, you know, we just declare it to ourselves and of ourselves, that this is who we are now. This is new, and I walk in this newness of life day by day. You know, there's so many things. I mean, we're just scratching the surface of what we have in Christ. Just a few little things we've looked at. And yet just these few things, if we will just believe them, that's what changes our lives. It's what changes the outcome of everything that we do. Everything that we set our hands to do, with this attitude and with this conviction within our heart, it changes the outcome of everything that we set our hands to do. If we look at ourselves as who we are in the flesh, the outcome of what we set our hands to do may change a little. It may be, it may happen, it may not. But if what we endeavor to do, we do in light of the truth of God's Word regarding who we are and who He has made us, it changes everything. Because God is willing to work on our behalf. Because we just simply believe Him. You know, it's like what it says in Romans 10. You know, how do we get saved? How do we get born again? And we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. And why is that? Well, because with the heart man believes unto righteousness. He believes for righteousness. You believe for it. You do not work for it anymore. You believe for it. You don't work for the promises of God in your life. You believe for them. I believe the promise. I believe that God will do, and therefore He does. And confession is made unto salvation. Confession. I confess the Savior. I confess Him. And when I confess that He's my Lord, whoa. I mean, all heaven and earth moves for you now. Because you're now made the righteousness of God in Him. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Wow. This is new. This is a new thing here. This is kind of cool, though. You know? So that's how we continue to think. You know, and it does. It changes everything. It really does. When we really firmly believe it in our heart. When we decide to walk by faith and not by sight. It's easy to understand. You know, you read those sections, they're not difficult to understand. They're easy to understand. And when we do, we choose to walk in that newness of life. And like it says in another part of Romans, we serve in the newness of spirit. You know, we serve God in spirit. Not with our flesh, but in our spirit. With that spirit. You know. So, just a few things that I wanted to look at in light of the newness that we have and the reason why we do what we do, the reason why we endeavor not only to reconcile ourselves back to God daily, you know, but help others connect with God so that they can know what's new about their lives in relation to what Jesus Christ has accomplished for them. Yeah, sure, the unbeliever needs to be reconciled, but the believers, not all of them connect, not all of them look to God all the time. You know, and that's what we need to do, and that's what we do. That's why we don't have a church or a membership or any of that, is because we want people to be connected with God. You know, because that's the most important thing. And that's the whole purpose of our lives, is what God's called us to. Now that we're reconciled, we endeavor to show others that, hey, look who your Father is. Look what he'll do for you. It's a wonderful thing. Well, let's pray, all right? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your blessings. Thankful, God, for what you have done for us, for each of us, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and that you no longer concern yourself with our shortcomings, but you look totally upon what you have made us in your Son. And, Father, that we can continue to look at ourselves in that respect also, that we no longer know each other by the flesh, but we know each other according to what you have made us. And we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We're grateful for that. Thank you that we can live our lives in light of these new things that you have provided for us in the new birth. And that every day is exciting as we look to you and see the great things that you have in store for us. Thanks, Father, for blessing our efforts, for continuing to bless our lives, to keep us healthy and to keep us free to move with your word and to help others see who you are. Thanks, Father, for these things. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.